Pray for them. Pray for those that will be left behind. There's a lot that goes on that we don't ever hear about or know about. But there was a lot of conversions. There was a lot of Christians that were converted. And they've got a death sentence on their head. Amen. We know nothing about what it is to truly be threatened for what you believe. And over there in Afghanistan and those countries, there's a lot of trouble. And I'm afraid we've not seen the end of it yet. But I'm glad God's still on the throne. He's still in control, and he's coming soon. Amen? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. That's the first message that Jesus preached, and that's what needs to be preached until he comes again. And I'm thank God when we get to heaven, we won't have to have no more preaching. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll get back and enjoy him for all eternity. And we won't get there one day later than anybody else. We'll get there that same glorious morning that they got there. And there we'll be for all eternity. And it is good to be here this morning. You pray for me. I'm shaking like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocket chairs. Amen. And I pray that when the nervousness ever quits, God sits me down. Because there's a lot of responsibility standing behind the sacred desk. I don't take it lightly. And I was telling Brother James when he called and asked if I'd come and help y'all again, that last time I was here, God gave me a message, laid a message on my heart. That hasn't changed. I fought it. I went all the way around it. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to tickle your ears with great oratory skills, and I don't have that. I'm from Bethel. Somebody say amen out there. Amen. It's all I can do to talk and walk at the same time. But God's in control, and it's good to be here this morning. I hope you've been praying for me, and pray for one another. Let's pray God to just meet with us today like he's never met before.
Amen.
If somebody's here that's lost, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Amen. Somebody's here that's got away from God, I pray God draw them back to the fold. But most importantly, I pray every soul in this church leave better than you came.
Amen.
That's my heart's desire this morning, that we leave better than we've come this morning, because we're all have failed God. We all fall short according to the word of God. And we need him more now than ever in our lives. So you pray for us. We've been praying for you. If you have your Bibles this morning, I hope you do, turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. And that's where we'll start this morning. I'll try not to be long. Every time I say that, we end up here an hour. But we won't do that this morning. Acts chapter 9. And we're going to start in about verse 17, Acts chapter 9, verse 17, very familiar portion of scripture. When you find that, if you'll stand this morning in honor of God's word, Acts chapter 9, I want to start in verse 17. The Bible said, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name, this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Father, this morning, Lord, God, as I stand here this morning, I pray, God, that you'd just help us. Father, I pray that you'd help me as a dying man preach to a dying people. Father, I need a special touch this morning, Lord. I pray that you'd clear my mind, you'd loosen my tongue. Lord, that you give me the boldness to say everything I need to say here this morning, and Father, the great discernment to say nothing that would dishonor you or displease you. And Father, I pray that you touch the hearts of every soul in this church this morning. Father, you know what we need, and Father, you've laid this on my heart many days ago. Father, it's not changed. The burdens only grew, and Father, I pray that you'd help me deliver it this morning, Lord. Pray that you'd hide me in the cross, God, that those that are here would not see Dwayne Tester, but God, they'd see you high and lifted up. And Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for what we've already felt here. Thank you for the good Sunday school. Father, the good choir that's sung. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that Father, you just meet with us in only a way that you can, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How many of you watch TV much? Should have asked how many of you look at your phone. Amen. How many of you ever seen that Capital One commercial about what's in your wallet?
Amen.
Amen. That guy, he's always asking, what's in your wallet? And I'm always standing there, nothing. That's the way you want to answer? That's the way I answer him, but it's truthful. Nothing. I got to thinking about that. In this passage of scripture, you say, what does that correlate? How are you trying to correlate that? I want to focus in this morning on verse number 25. Verse number 25 draws my interest this morning, and I pray that it be a help to you. The Bible said, then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. I want to ask you a pointed question this morning. What's in your basket? What's in your basket this morning? Understand that Paul, we know now, was Saul. He's been converted on the Damascus Road. We've read this morning that he's come to the house where God has directed him. Ananias has spoken to him, and the scale has fallen from his eyes. He now has his sight. He's been strengthened. And now Paul is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This same Paul that was standing by when they stoned Stephen to death. And they laid the coat at Saul's feet. Saul and Paul being the same person, you know that. And now Saul finds himself with a disciple. He finds himself converted, changed, born again. You must be born again, amen? Amen? The new birth. He is a changed man. He's not what he used to be, but yet he's with a group of people that knew exactly who he was. They knew all that Paul had done, Saul had done. And now Saul is increased. He's preaching, the Bible said, and straightway he preached. Now imagine the mindset of the religious crowd, those disciples. They were scared, I'm sure. Is this really a changed man? Is this really a man that has been born again? Is he changed? Is he truly here for the glory of God? Or is he truly here to bring us bound back and kill us? He's preaching the gospel. And that religious crowd, the Jews of that day, they took counsel to kill Paul. But those disciples saw something in him.
The disciples, you know, the Bible said that our spirit would bear witness with one another, right? Are you with me this morning? I'm going somewhere. I'm fixing to get cranked up. Our witness would bear with one another. And I believe these disciples, they felt that Paul was a changed man. He was preaching the truth. And they heard what the Jews was going to do. And the Jews, taking counsel to kill Paul, the disciples said, "We've got to get him out." Now they knew that they were watching the gates. They knew that the gates were covered. And they was going to have to get Paul to safety. Paul must have had a special touch in his life. They saw something special in him, enough so that they took a basket and a rope and they let him down out of a window, down the wall to safety. Amen? Amen. You say, "Well, preacher, it doesn't say that they put him out of the window." Well, you have to go over and read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 33. And the Bible says over here, it says, "And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands." Paul never got over what they did for him. Paul never forgot those that put him in a basket, tied a rope to the basket, and let him down to safety. I want to ask you this morning, church, what's in your basket? What's in your basket this morning? See, we've all got the mindset that it's somebody else's job, amen? That it's somebody else's job to let down the basket, to hold the rope, if you will. But you and I need to realize this morning that God has placed some special things in our basket. See, if you notice, first of all, with me this morning, when you look at this basket, Paul was a young convert. Paul was a young Christian, amen? Church, may I say this morning that these young people here in this church, you and I have a responsibility as they are placed in our basket to hold the rope. Amen. What do you mean, preacher? Well, may I say first of all this morning, if you go to Acts chapter 9 and you look at verse number 19, the Bible said, "And when he had received meat," who gave him the meat? Who gave him the meat to strengthen him? It was the disciples. It was those that God had sent him to. They took care of him. What does that have to do with anything, preacher? The rope, I believe this morning that you and I are holding to, is the rope of truth. Amen. 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 Are you with me? Our young people needs to hear what the Bible says. They need to hear what God thinks on the matter. Not what your opinion is, not what the world's opinion is, but what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Not to water it down just because they're our children and we don't want them, their feelings to be heard. We need to teach them what God expects. Church, it's our responsibility. He's talking about the Great Commission in Sunday school this morning. We have a responsibility to hold the rope of truth for these young people. Will he hold this rope? You hold that for me. The church, this little fella right here needs you. He needs you more than he needs this world. He needs some people that'll hold the rope. Churches today are letting go of the rope. Churches today, when it comes to our young people, and I believe our young people are important. They're the future of our church, amen? Amen? They're the future. When you and I pass away, the Lord tarries. Who's going to take over? Who's going to live and teach and walk and preach the old paths if we don't teach them the truth? Amen. Somebody's got to hold the rope. Amen. Whose responsibility is it? Is it the preacher's? See, everybody wants to just let go of the rope. That's not my job. I'm not the Sunday school teacher. How many Sunday school teachers we got in this church? Go ahead, raise your hands high. You've got a special responsibility, but it ain't all on you. It ain't all on you. It's on everybody in this church. It ain't just the preacher or the pastor's responsibility. It's your responsibility too. Not to water it down. I'm not talking about skinning them or this or that. I'm talking about loving them in the Lord and teaching them the right way. Amen? Will you hold the rope? Who's in your basket? See, if he lets go, at least somebody's still got a hold of it. Somebody's got to hold the rope of truth for these young people. As I read this morning, I read on down, not just is it a rope of truth, but what about a rope of encouragement for this young convert? This young convert needed to be encouraged. Why is that? They were out to kill him. Imagine being born again, saved by the grace of God, on fire for the Lord, Brother Dale. And people are wanting to kill you for it. It ain't easy to be born again. It ain't easy to walk the walk, amen? It ain't easy to stand for something in these days. I know all too well. There's a church I pastored one time, and they took meeting on me and run me and my wife and family off because we stood on the Word of God. It wouldn't preach on what they wanted me to preach, And that's just the way it is. I'm not telling you that for sympathy or to hurt anybody's feelings or scare anybody. But not everybody wants the truth. And it's hard. People need encouraging today. We read in the Word of God here that they were afraid of him. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, verse 26, he essayed. That was, he attempted to join himself with fellow believers. He attempted to join himself with fellow believers. What did the Bible say? But they were all afraid of him. They were all afraid of him. Have you ever been afraid of somebody? If you're afraid of somebody, you're afraid of this or that, what are you going to do? You're going to distance yourself from that person. Well, imagine Saul, this born-again child of God that has changed, has left the old man. He's now a new man. He's left it behind. He's on fire for God. And these disciples were afraid of him. They wouldn't have nothing to do with him. You say, well, preacher, I'm glad that doesn't happen in our neck of the woods. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I mean, if you don't think religious people are a cliquish people, you've been sitting here with scales on your eyes. Amen. Amen. If you don't sound just right, I'm talking from a preacher. I don't know. Amen. I've been preaching now 18-some years, and if you don't sound just right, if you don't jump just right, if you don't have a little bit of a train sound when you shout, are you with me? If you just don't look just right, I mean, bald-headed people's on that. We're outcasts, brother. If the preacher don't look like Joel Osteen, drive a Bugatti, whatever that is. Have tailor-made suits, then I don't want nothing to do with you. You think it ain't happening? It happens. And people get so discouraged in this thing. And our young converts, they get discouraged because they get excited. They get on fire. They want to do something for the Lord in the church. And well, somebody else's family's done it all these years. Better not give them an opportunity. We don't want to upset the apple cart. Good preaching, preacher. We don't want to put them in our basket. Once we get them saved, that's all that matters. We just turn them out. These disciples were afraid of Saul. But I like verse 27. But Barnabas, the encourager. There was one man come alongside him and stood with him. He stood with him. What did he do? He threw him a rope of encouragement. He put him in his basket and he said, I'll tell you what, he said, I'll stand with you. And what did Barnabas do? Barnabas said, and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he'd seen the Lord in the way. Barnabas said, look, this man is real. This man's really got it. And I'm holding the rope for him. I'm going to hold the rope for him. I'll stand in the way. This thing's clean, by the way, amen. It's COVID free. I just got it out of the paper, amen. Plastic, sanitized it, sprayed it down. So don't be afraid of the rope. Barnabas stood in the gap for Paul. Imagine what would have happened if everybody had turned their back on him. Imagine what could have happened if everybody had turned their back on Paul like they started out. One man, Barnabas, threw him a rope. About hit him between the eyes. Good aim, amen. 18 years, you get good practice at the back rope. We need each other, church. We need each other when things are go downhill, and it will go downhill. If you do anything for God, if you stand for anything, if you are you may be here and you may have been a drunkard, a meth addict, whatever it might be, and you're changed, people are still going to remember what you were. They're going to hold it against you, amen? But there's going to be some that's going to love you regardless. They're not going to hold it against you. They're going to see the potential in you. Imagine, we wouldn't have much of the New Testament had it not been for Paul. Somebody held a rope. Who was it? Barnabas, the encourager. Come alongside him when nobody else would. What's in your basket today? What's in your basket? You've got young converts in this church, these young people. If they may not be saved as of yet, but trust me, when the Lord gets a hold of them and saves them by his marvelous grace, they're going to be in your basket. Will you hold the rope? Amen. I'm talking about not just one or two of you, not just depending on your Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about all of you need to hold the rope. Amen. Hold the rope for these young people. They're our future. We need to invest in them and we need to take care of them. Be there when nobody else will. So we have a young convert in the basket. But if you turn with me over to 2 Corinthians, I want you to see something else. Not only is there a young convert, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you start reading in verse 23, due to time, I'm not going to read it all. Well, yeah, I am. The Bible said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Paul is defending his apostleship to the Corinthian believers. There were some in the church, wolves had crept in unawares, and they were trying to take over what Paul had started and changing the doctrine and teaching and so forth. But Paul is trying to take up for who he was. Paul said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. At night and day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul said, I've got a load on me. He said, who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not.
in Damascus, the governor under the Arius, the king of the city. The king kept the city of the Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. What does that mean, preacher? Why did you read all that? You know who else is in the basket? A saint carrying a heavy load. Saint carrying a heavy load. Think about it. Paul knew more about what it was to be persecuted than we'll ever know. Beaten, 39 lashes. 3 times Paul was whipped with the extent of the Roman whipping or Jewish whip. In a shipwreck, spent the night and a day in the deep, stoned. Paul says, beside all that, I carry the burden of the churches on my shoulders. Paul said, I've got a heavy load, but I remember a time. I remember a time when I was in a basket and they let me down to safety. Paul said, that gives me hope. Paul's saying, I'm in your basket. Why don't you hold the rope? Why don't you be there for me? There's some people sitting in this church today that probably carrying a heavier load than you know anything about. Carrying a heavier load than you know anything about. It may be family matters, financial matters, spiritual warfare, whatever it might be. Maybe they're dealing with salvation. And they're in our basket. Are you holding the rope today? Are you holding the rope for these saints that are carrying a heavy load? What do you mean, preacher? Well, in verses 24 and 25 of this context of Scripture, Paul was beaten down by the world. Can I tell you, saint of God, you rest assured, as I'm standing here today, the world hates you. The devil hates you. And you may not be buffeted right now. You may not have no trouble right now, but you rest assured it's coming. The devil will visit your house. Amen. I almost preached on that today. It's what the devil wanted me to do, but Brother Norm, I can't do it. The devil's going to come and he's going to visit you one day. What's he going to find? Is he going to find a saint in somebody's basket? Is he going to look around and say, whoa, he's got too many people on his side? The world's going to beat you down. We ain't seen nothing yet here in America, church. Under the leadership we've got going right now, wouldn't surprise me if the old trump of God sounds pretty soon. Amen. We're going backwards instead of forwards. We're going away from God. The world's after our young people. The world's after shutting down our churches. Say, oh no, preacher, it'll never happen. There's a whole lot of things I thought would never happen that I see going on today. We got saints all around us that are carrying the load. We need to hold the rope for them, amen? I don't know what any of you in this church is going through. I don't know. Sister Sandy, I know what you go through. I see it beside you. But we need to be holding the rope for each other. You know, a lot of people won't separate themselves from trouble. Somebody carrying a heavy load, and it might be something going on, and many people are running from it. I don't want no part of that. I don't want to help them. If I get seen around them, well, I'm gonna carry a whipping. Ain't as wound up as I thought it was going to be, but still preaching. There's a whole lot of people today that wants to shy away from trouble and not hold the rope. Hey, some of you older saints that think you can't hold the rope. Rob, I'm holding the rope, brother. But Norm, one of these days I might slip. It's going to be up to you to hold the rope. Brother Tim might have to scotch you and get a hold of it and pull on it, help you and get you to safety. What's in your basket today? What's in your basket this morning, church? Is there somebody here in this church that maybe you need to go to and ask them,
Are you all right? Somebody maybe not here this morning. You've sat and wondered where they're at, but have you held the rope and called them? Maybe they're carrying a heavy load. Maybe they're beat down. Maybe they just don't feel like they've got any opportunity to do nothing. There's a whole lot of people like that. My years of pastoring and visiting folk, it's often amazed me that the houses I go into and people, they'll say, "You're the first preacher that's ever been here." It's a shame. Not building me up, it's just who I am. I thought we were supposed to hold the rope for each other. Well, I've got it, brother. See, sometimes those that's got in the basket don't want to get out. Saints that are under a heavy burden, pick up the phone and call somebody this week. God's put them in your basket. I hear a lot of churches, and I hear a lot of preachers all the time. They get up, and I've been one of them. We'll blow snot and whine and cry because the church is empty. Amen, preacher. I've got a picture of this church with a morning attendance of 287. I've got a picture of my grandpa standing right here. It's taken from over here. And that board says 287 for morning attendance. Amen. Now, a lot of them have passed on, but I run a crane, and I have helped build a lot of houses right around this church. There's a lot of people moved in. We sit and we blow snot and we cry because the churches are empty, but what are we doing to get them in? What are we doing to get them in? God has placed this church in this community and every church in their community for a purpose. It is to be a lighthouse. It is to be a soul-saving station, a hospital for the hurting. Amen. God has placed the community in the churches in the community, and that community is in the church's basket. Are you with me? What's in your basket this morning? Are you holding the rope? We sit back and we say, "Well, I'm just waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to fill church." God could fill this church and some more. I mean, He spoke it into existence. He flung the stars from the tip of His fingers. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. But as you was reading the Great Commission this morning, God gave us something to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Yep. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It meant go past the door. Amen. Beginning at Jerusalem. If you can't take care of it in Jerusalem, you can forget about Judea and the uttermost parts of the world. It matters not how many missionaries you hang a picture of on that back wall. If you don't take care of Jerusalem, it'll all be in vain. I'm just giving you Bible, Brother Tim. It may not be the way you interpret it, but he said beginning at Jerusalem. That is at home. Beginning at home. God has put our communities in our basket, and we've got to hold the rope. But you know, we usually throw the rope down. Imagine again, as I said, what would have happened if they'd have thrown the rope down on Paul? Not only does this world beat them down, verse 26 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 said, "In journeys often in perils of waters and perils of robbers and perils of mine own." There's a whole lot of perils that goes on in this verse. Many are in the storms of life. There's many people all around us right now that are battling things that we ain't got a clue about. Drugs are rampant in this county, whether you want to believe it or not. Our young people are under attack from the devil to get strung out on this dope. And you say, "Oh, my child would never do that." I'm living proof it can happen. I'm living proof that all it takes is one of your good buddies, your best friend, your childhood friend, to say, won't you try this? Why don't you try this? First time I ever tried meth, I thought, Brother Norm, how can something so good be illegal? I had never experienced nothing like that in my life. I'm not here bragging on it. I'm here to tell you that the devil's got some things out there that all it takes is one time for your child. One time for your child to become an addict. A drunkard will never become a drunk if they never take the first drink. And young people, when preachers preach on it, it ain't because they hate you or your friends. It's a lot of times because most of them have been there. I know what it's like. I've been there. I was a drunkard. That's my wife sitting right there. The last year that I drank, I was drunk 365 days. And I wasn't a happy drunk, Rodney. I was a wicked drunk. I was mean when I would get drunk. These young people in our basket, the storms of life are raging. And a lot of young people are turning to it because they ain't got nobody else to turn to. They're in our baskets. We look over it. We say, no, that never happened to my child. I've stood up here as a young child beside my grandpa with his hand on my head. I've been drugged to more churches than most of you've ever been in with my other grandpa preaching. And people would have placed money that this little boy right here would have never took the first drink or never snorted the first line of meth. And I was a wicked man. I don't know why that my wife is sitting there today other than it was the grace of God. She prayed for me. You know what? I was in her basket. I was in her basket. She prayed for me. She prayed for me, and she never gave up on me, and I'm sure she wanted to. Probably especially now, telling way too much. I'll hear about it going home. But you know, there's a time that she put a rope around me. She didn't give up. She never gave up. She'd ask me every Sunday morning as she would leave to go to church, won't you go to church with me this morning? Won't you go to church with me this morning? I'd say, nah, honey, it ain't for me. Been to church all my life. You know, them people... Can I go ahead and say this, Brother Norm? Can I get your permission? Anybody else? I'm in his basket right now. Some of the meanest people I ever dealt with, Christians. Amen. Amen right there. Amen. I don't want to go, Robert. She wouldn't more get out of sight. I'd go get my little old car, and I'd go over to the pantry across from the hospital, and I'd get me a 12-pack or a case of beer. I'd come home, sit down, and watch the race. That was my habit. That's what I did. That's what I did every day. Every Sunday, honey, won't you go to church with me? Honey, won't you go to church with me? Same thing. You can ask her. I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating it. And how many of you men got one of them wives that won't quit? I'll go back here. You're afraid to say, ain't you, brother? You're fixing to find out. My wife, boy, she stayed on me. She wouldn't quit. It's just like, have you mowed the yard? Have you mowed the yard? Have you mowed the yard? Us men ain't figured out that means mow the yard. She ain't really asking the question. She's telling you. But anyway, I went to church with her one Sunday. So she would hush. Some of you men have done the same thing. You've done just exactly what your wife's asked you to do because you didn't want to do it. You just didn't want to hear her talk about it anymore. I came in and I started on the back row. I sat on the back row and I thought, well, this ain't too bad. Preacher Delmer James, he preached about 45 minutes, an hour. Everybody's tired. They won't know. I'd get up, slip out. When the altar call would come, I'd go out that door. Every Sunday, I'd try that. Well, the next Sunday would come. Next Sunday would come, and we came in. Boy, I thought, well, this ain't working out too bad. I can listen to that. She ain't mad at me. I go home, drink my beer, watch the race. Everything's all right. Come in that Sunday, and lo and behold, everybody in Meat Camp was on that pew. Amen. The next time I moved up a pew. I kid you not. You can ask my wife. I know I'm just used to people doubting what to say. Amen. Next Sunday, I moved up here. Come in the following Sunday. Half of the county was on this pew. It just got worse. I didn't know there was that many people in Meat Camp. Every Sunday. I mean, and it wasn't just one side of the church. Both sides, you know, we Baptists, everybody sits in the back. You don't believe me, get up there and look back here. And the church was getting fuller, and Delmer James was preaching himself silly. He's getting excited. Kept moving up. I mean, the church is getting full, finally. Second row, I said, all right, God, this is as far as I'm doing. I ain't going no more. Brother Tim, you was going to Prophet's Grove. You, as a matter of fact, you was there when things changed in my life. I sat right here, and God held back for a little while. I was close. But Delmer would get up, every head bowed, every eye closed. Somebody need to do something. My heart beat out of my chest. I knew I needed to do something. I'd go out that door. I'd go get in the car. We'd go home. I'd get my beer. I'd get drunk. I'd get methed out. Brother Robert, I'm just telling you about Storm's life. I've still got some more preaching to do here. But Brother Tim, there's a Sunday that me and Kim came in, we walked up, and every grandchild of Clyde Jones that has ever existed was on that road. I mean, every kinfolk he had, everybody, son, daughter, family, cousins, everything was on them rows. There was a spot for two people on the front. And it was next to my mother-in-law. I mean, it couldn't get no worse on the front row of a Baptist church next to your mother-in-law. Lord God, just go ahead and kill me now. Brother Tim, I don't know what Brother Delmer preached, but I know now why God moved me out of every pew. You get on the front pew, you can't hold on to nothing else. And Delmer preached that Sunday, and I didn't have no more excuses. I was tired of running. I was tired of fighting. And I still stank of alcohol. Still strung out on meth. I went down in that old altar, and I said, God, if you'll forgive me and take this from me, I'll never touch it again. In church to this day, I got up. I didn't have to go to AA. I didn't have to go to any type of rehab. I got up a clean, sober husband. Child of God. And she looks at me today as I'm in the pulpit, and she said, I didn't pray that hard. I didn't know God had something going, but I was in her basket. Wives, don't give up on your husbands. Husbands, don't give up on your wives. Family, don't give up on your children. They're in your basket. Hold the rope. Hold the rope. Verse 27. There's a whole lot of people that's tired in the battle. Paul was tired and weariness and painfulness and washings often. Can I preach just a few more minutes?
Amen.
Tim, it gets tiresome. This thing's hard. I know I can preach on me because it's easier. I don't get mad at me. But this serving God, it ain't always easy. It ain't always easy. You can't please everybody. Have you ever tried? Mamas, can you please everybody with everything you cook on Sunday? Probably not. That's why you got to cook 700 things. Right? Well, you know she don't like candied yams. Old little Johnny, he don't like ham. He got to have steak. That ain't no different than Christians. I don't like loud preaching. I don't like soft preaching. I don't like long-winded preachers. I don't like short-winded preachers. I wish that preacher wouldn't walk. I wish that preacher would drop that rope and get tangled up and fall. You can't please everybody. But there's only one that we have to please. People's often told me, they said, "Preacher, how many people got saved under your preaching day?" I say, "I don't know. I didn't see any come forward. I don't keep notes." Amen. Was anybody convicted? I don't know. My job is to preach the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's job is to do the convicting. It's God's job to do the saving. It ain't my job or anybody else's job to make everybody happy. We just got to be in God's will. Amen.
Amen.
We just have to be in God's will. If you're in God's will, that's all that matters.
Amen.
That's all that matters. You'll never make everybody happy. Amen.
Amen.
You'll never make everybody happy. There's only three in my family, my wife, my son, and me. And we can go somewhere to eat. And you can ask, "What do you want to eat?" Should have never started. It don't matter. You men ever hear that while you're driving? Graham, she's looking at you and laughing. You must happen to you too, buddy. Trust me, it ain't going to change. Amen. If you don't believe me, ask your daddy. It don't matter. All right. I love Burger King, home of the Whopper. If it don't matter, then why is it she screams when I pull in the parking lot? She just told me it don't matter. I pull in the Burger King. Apparently, it does matter. All right, let's go to Wendy's. I don't like Wendy's. You can't please everybody. But I want to tell you one thing you can do. You can just hold the rope. You do your thing and you be there. Don't give up. Don't give in. God's placed some things in your basket that are more valuable than you probably realize. Keep on keeping on for the glory of God. People, you have saints that are struggling under a heavy load. Hold the rope. And I'll close with this. Back over in Acts chapter 9. Back over in Acts chapter 9. Verse 23 and 24. The Bible said, "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying wait was known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him." Not only is there young converts in our basket, not only is there saints that are carrying a heavy load, but there are servants trying to fulfill their calling. All Paul was doing was trying to do what God called him to do. Am I right? Have I took this out of context? Paul's on the Damascus Road, had papers in hand to keep on doing what he knew to do, Brother Tim, and that was to come down hard on the church. But he met Jesus Christ. Saul, Saul, why kickest thou against the pricks? Amen. Saul gets saved. All he's doing is trying to do what God called him to do, and that was preach the gospel. And the Jews were out to kill him. Church, I say that to say this. Pray for me. Pray for the other men of God in this county, in this church, or country. Pray for the leaders of your church. All you're trying to do is do what God's called you to do. And it ain't always easy. It ain't always easy. Paul was facing danger. These disciples recognized it. They put him in the basket. They let him down. You say, well, what are you saying that for, preacher? Do you honestly today believe that the devil likes what we're doing? The devil knew if he could stop Paul, if he could stop Paul, Paul had a zeal about his work before, and Paul had a greater zeal after he was saved. The devil knew if he could stop the work, he could slow down the progress. Church, do you know that the devil wants you to stop? Are you with me? The devil don't want you to have. He'll let you have church, but he don't want you to really have church. He don't really want you to get in touch with God, the Holy Spirit, to touch your heart. The devil's messing with some of you there this morning. Wondering why I'm preaching so long when I done said I wasn't preaching long. That's the devil. Getting your mind on how long the line is at Cracker Barrel. I don't like Cracker Barrel. I done told you about that. The devil wants the church to stop. You know, a lot of churches have stopped. Last week, I knew of a church, heard of a church in this county that locked the doors. Closed her up. Done. Church, we've got to hold the rope for each other. We've got to hold the rope for each other. I need to pray for you. You need to pray for me. The devil would like for me to quit. Amen. Maybe I should sometimes. I don't know. Or don't eat because I ain't thought about it. You know how hard it is to get up and come to church every Sunday morning? I'm going to preach to Mama here just a minute because she won't get mad at me. As years as I have pastored, it's often been hard. Why everybody expect a preacher to go to church when they don't go? Somebody help me. Explain that to me. Is it because of a paycheck? I thought it was a calling. It's always a calling until you don't do what they want. Well, we pay you. Servants get tired just like everybody else. Amen. Servants get tired. Where's your deacon, all your deacons at? Here's one, two. Hey, some way back yonder, my rope ain't long enough because Mama wouldn't let me bring it all. Norma, come on over here, buddy. Come on, sit up here close to him. You can sit there, Dale. That's all right. We will jump in there, boys. I'm going to give you fellas a piece of advice. I don't know everything. Don't you give up on each other. You're in each other's basket. If one slips, the other has got to hold the rope. You're here for each other, not against each other. You're not against the church. Church, you're not against these men. These men need you as much as you need them. They're holding the rope for each other. But remember this, you set them aside. You made them deacons. You put them in your basket. You hold the rope for them. These are dear men of God, and I respect every one of them. And they depend on each other's wisdom and guidance. Boys, don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose what God has given you in unity. I know, you all just take a break just a minute, amen? I'm helping these deacons out. If you ever lose the spirit of unity, if you all start dropping the rope, there's two gone. The basket's done failed. You see what I'm saying? The disconnect is gone. Don't ever lose it. No matter what comes, keep holding the rope. Because the world's after your church. The world's after your church. The world wants the church to stop, to stand still, not move forward for the glory of God. Hold the rope, church. Pray for your church. Amen. Verse 26, and you boys just sit there a minute. When Saul come to Jerusalem, as I've already said, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid, and they believed not he was a disciple. People are going to doubt you. People are going to doubt you. You're not always going to say and do the right thing. And as soon as you mess up just a little bit, or as soon as you do something that somebody just don't quite understand, doubt rises up. Doubt rises up and people will start doubting you. You call to preach, you call to be a deacon. Kim, can I go ahead and say something right here? She's saying, I don't know what you're going to say, but I can tell by the look on her face. She said, don't say it. I will say this, as a preacher, sometimes the things that God leads you, and when God leads you, sometimes it goes against somebody's reasoning, I guess you can say. Maybe some people's wondering why I'm here and not at the last church I was pastor at. I'm going to go ahead and clear up your doubt. It's because God said so. It's because God told me it was time to move. Regardless of what Facebook says, regardless of what everybody else says, God said it was time. And all I've been asking, can I have my rope back a minute? You boys are still connected, pretend. There's been some people that's been holding the rope for me. Some people that knew that God was in it. Church, we need each other. And there's going to be times people doubt you. There's going to be times that people are going to look at you when you're following God. I mean, have you ever wondered why these missionaries would leave Burger King and go to Asia? I've been to the Philippines. McDonald's over there ain't the same. It had to be God. Amen. You know, one of the greatest things that would ever be the best thing that ever happened to churches and people, God's people today, is quit doubting each other and start supporting each other. Amen. 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 Understand each other's. We're in a basket together. I'd hug you, Norm, but you ain't got your mask on. Are you with me? We're in this thing together. Come what may, whatever bumps are in the road, hold the rope. Because you know now what's in your basket. And there'll be other things that come that God puts in your basket. Don't quit holding the rope. I want to ask all the young people under 25 years old to come up here just a minute. All the young people under 25 years old, come up here just a minute. I said that because I wanted some of you older ones to get up. Graham, that includes you. Austin, that includes you. And Lakin. Timothy, how old are you? 30. Everybody. I want you to stand behind me here. Just get in this pulpit up here. I ain't going to ask you to sing. Now go on up. Go up there. You get right here in the middle. You're pretty. No, I was talking to her. I thought you'd come up. You hold that. The church, the deacons, I want you to come. I want you to stand right here in front of them. Grab a hold of this thing, boys. Now I'm going to close out this message this way. Right here's your future. Right here's your future. Right here's the leadership God has given you right now. And some of these boys right here may be in the shoes of these men one day. I wonder this morning, church, are you willing to hold the rope with these men for the future of these kids and for the glory of God and the furtherance of this church? I wonder how many of you will come. If you may not be able to get my rope, as I said, ain't long enough. But I wonder how many will come and just gather around, symbolizing that you're going to hold the rope. You know what's in your basket. God, I'm here and I'm committed to holding the rope for this church, these men and these children. Will you come this morning?